Ah, the theme song that makes all those trivia dreams come true. At least that's what happened to Boston University sophomore Erin McLean, who recently won Jeopardy! College Championship and $100,000 along with it. McLean graduated from Danvers High School in 2009, and she's BU's first ever Jeopardy! College Champion. So we invited her to our studios to talk about her game show experience. I commented that it must have been nice to beat out a Yale University student in the final round. McLean said, yeah, it felt good, but...
not as good as if he was from BC, but still pretty good.
Oh, I like that local rivalry. So is it correct that you basically took two tests? And was that what was enough to get you to the audition stage or to actually get you on the program?
Pretty much. What you do is you first take a 50-question test online. And then from there, if you do well enough on that, you're invited back to an in-person audition where you take a 50-question written test. But what they focus on more, of course you need to know things, but they focus a lot on how you act. You play a mock game with buzzers, and you also do a personality interview where they ask you about your life, like, what's your major? What do you want to do with the money? Stuff like that. And so they're looking for people who are energetic and really kind of TV ready to be interesting. It's not just a bunch of smart people. It's a bunch of interesting smart people.
Oh, that's quite interesting. So they recognize that there's a performance aspect and they want to make sure you can pull that off.
Absolutely, yeah.
And you have watched Jeopardy for many, many years. This is a show you're very familiar with.
Oh, absolutely. I've been watching since I was a very little kid.
What is your strategy for trying to be good at it? Is it actually studying? Is it just that you have to have a mind like a sponge and when you hear things you remember it? Is it also just luck that the questions that are asked happen to be things you know about?
It's a combination of all three. Studying, I definitely studied, but only the things I knew I didn't know. Like, for example, I'm not very good at art, so I focused a lot on art studying and then it didn't even come up. But like, it's all about the luck of the draw, really. And so people always say, oh, you won Jeopardy, you must be so smart. And it's like, I mean, I guess I am smart, but it's more important on looking at the context clues. You don't really have to know a lot. You just have to know a lot about other things surrounding them. For example, Jeopardy often like repeats questions. So if they ask you about like a composer from Finland, you know it's going to be Sibelius no matter what. Like, it doesn't matter what the question is about. If the question says Finland or composer, and then adds them together, it's going to be Sibelius.
So scholars of Jeopardy just know these things. So you can sort of study to beat the test in a way, kind of like people do by taking like Princeton reviews for the SAT and so
on. Yeah, kind of. Like, I'm sure there could be a book written about it, but as it is, there's a lot of resources online that I used. And just in general, watching the show, you get that context clue association.
You know, you've mentioned that you actually spent time studying for Jeopardy. This is hardly the only thing you fit into your life besides school. You're in BU's marching band. You're in the Marine Science Association because you're a double major in English and Marine Science. You're in a sorority that serves collegiate music programs. So there's a lot going on in your life.
Oh, yeah. Plus classes, which are pretty hard right now, too. So it was tough to leave for a little bit to go tape Jeopardy. I was only gone for 3 days, but missing a lot of 3 days is missing a lot of school. So it was a little bit of catch up when I got back. But I just kind of fit in the time for it because it was important, obviously. But as for studying, I mean, I only studied leading up to my audition, really, really hardcore studied, because when it was leading up to the actual show, I didn't have a whole lot of time.
But how do you study for something like that when trivia is trivia and you just can't possibly know what they might ask? How do you even begin to study for something where there's almost no boundaries?
It's a little daunting of a task. What I would do is I have a notebook and I write a lot of things down because it's how I learn. I write things down, then I remember them. So I have a book and it has lists in it, like presidents, state capitals, world capitals, stuff like that. And so I would write down lists of that so I could commit it to memory. And then there's a website online that has archived games of Jeopardy on there, all the clues, all the answers, whatever, going back to like 84 or something ridiculous like that. And so I would play those games like on my computer, noting down the ones I got right, the ones I got wrong, and the ones I didn't answer. And then I would write down the questions and the answers to the ones I got wrong and the ones I didn't answer in order to, you know, reinforce what I didn't know. So I would eventually get better and better and better.
Is there a trivia category that you think Jeopardy needs that you haven't heard?
Oh, I don't know. They do everything. We had a category our first game about vultures. Who knows things about vultures? Not us. We did not know things about vultures. So I really think they run the gamut of all the important trivia categories, plus most of the non-important trivia categories.
So in preparation for you coming in, we decided there really should be a Boston category. So we decided that we would create a Boston category and make up some questions for you and then see how you do under the pressure of being here in the studio with a category you might not have had time to prep for. Although you grew up here. You went to Danvers High School. You're now at BU. So you're a native. So let's see how you do on Massachusetts Boston trivia.
All right.
Are you up for it?
Sure. Let's do it.
All right. So here's the first one. This well-known Boston building was notorious for most of its windows falling out shortly after it was built in the 1970s. Now, I should note this predates you, right? What year were you born?
1991.
Okay. So let's see if you know this one.
I honestly have never heard of anything like this.
I'll tell you then. It was the John Hancock Tower.
Oh, no way.
After the Hancock Building was built sort of late 60s, early 70s, most of the glass windows fell out and they had to replace them all.
Wow, that's dangerous for people walking on the street.
Exactly. All right, let's try this one, a little more contemporary. In this year, the Red Sox finally won the World Series after not having won it since 1918.
What is 2004?
Very good. All right, let's go back a little bit in time. This is a tough one.
All right.
This judge famously oversaw the desegregation of Boston schools in the 1970s.
Oh, I vaguely remember this from my history class that I took. Arthur something.
Oh, good. You got the first name?
Starts with a G, right?
Mm-hmm.
Garrett, Garnett, Garrett, Garnett.
I think we give you that. It's Judge Arthur Garrity.
All right.
Very impressive. Okay. This beloved conductor led the Boston Pops for a gazillion years and is now memorialized by a famous statue on the Esplanade.
Who is Arthur Fiedler?
Very good. All right, try this one. This unit of measurement was created by MIT students as a fraternity prank and was used to measure out the length of the Mass Ave Bridge, officially known as the Harvard Bridge.
Oh, I know this. They go over this in every tour that you get at
MIT.
Oh, I don't remember his name, though. Smoots.
Smoots, exactly. It's a Smoot. Perfect.
There we go.
Okay. Okay, this is a hard one.
All right.
Linguists use this term to describe the accents of R-droppers, or maybe I should say A-droppers, meaning some Bostonians who say things like pak ya ka.
Linguists.
Yes, linguists use this term to describe the accents of so-called R-droppers.
I don't know. That's never something I've come across.
And this is probably something known only by a very small slice of linguists. These people are called non-rhotics.
Non-rhotics.
Exactly.
Wow. That's interesting.
The Daily Double.
Oh.
All right. You ready?
Yep.
This Cambridge native won an Oscar with his best friend, who's also a Cambridge native, for their screenplay that became a blockbuster movie. And here's a clip of that person.
This is a Harvard bar, huh?
I will take a picture of the finest lager in the house.
Time out. I'm gonna have to bust a little move on that Harvard honey's down the end of the bar. Work some magic.
Get some questions.
Is that from The Departed? I've never seen it, but I know of it. It's either Matt Damon or Ben Affleck, one of the two. They're really the same person.
Exactly. That was Ben Affleck. But yes, both Ben Affleck and Matt Damon are Cambridge natives who won an Oscar for the screenplay that later became Good Will Hunting.
Oh, got it.
You know, you did very well, by the way, especially for things that were sort of pre-you.
Ah, thank you.
So, Erin McLean, how has Jeopardy changed your life? Is it only this little celebrity blip, or do you think it's actually changed your life in some notable way?
I wouldn't say it's really changed my life. The money, honestly, I feel like I don't even see it because it's all going to be you. So the money definitely isn't a factor. It was a nice wake-up call that if I work hard for something, I can do it. As opposed to, you know, getting something by luck or getting something by, like, just circumstance. That's a nice little reminder, but it hasn't really changed my life, I wouldn't say.
Erin McLean, congratulations on winning Jeopardy! College Championship, and thanks for coming on Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
To test out your own Boston knowledge and play our version of Jeopardy!, visit our website, wbur.org/Boston. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at Boston.com. If you want to comment on our show, post a comment on our website, wbur.org/Boston, or email us at radioboston@wbur.org. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.